Welcome to our talk. It's called Honey Monkeys, Chasing Hackers with a Bunch of Monkeys. And my name is Sebastian Wolfgarten, and this is Christian Piller. We run a website called devtarget.org. There is not much content yet because we are in the process of redesigning everything. But I hope you enjoy this talk, and all the material is going to be available on our website as well. Okay, so we have thought about the following agenda. First of all, we're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to talk about traditional honeypots. Then we're going to talk about honey clients, also known as honey monkeys. And later on, I'm going to, or Christian is going to actually show you some case studies before we go on into forensics and finally sum it up. Okay, so yeah, maybe Christian can, all right.
Okay, that's me. I'm Christian Piller. I'm working as an IT security expert at the European Central Bank at the moment. I'm a former Ernst & Young employee. This is important because we met Sebastian at Ernst & Young. We were colleagues there, and that's how our work together started. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. As said, my name is Sebastian Wolfgarten. I'm currently studying security and forensic computing in Dublin. Before that, I graduated in the University of Stuttgart. And I'm with Ernst & Young for a couple of years now, and I usually work as a reviewer and author for Addison Wesley and Variety and various other magazines. Yeah, so we go on now the interesting stuff. Okay, so first of all, what is a honeypot? Maybe we can make a little poll. So maybe raise your hand if you don't know what a honeypot actually is. Okay, four people, so that's grand. No, actually, a honeypot is just a system that's there for the purpose of being exploited, attacked, exploited, and obviously compromised. Okay, so the thing is, what would a typical installation of a honeypot in a corporate environment would look like? That's probably it. You can have honeypots basically in every part of your network. You can have it in your LAN. You can have it in your normal client area. You can have it in your DMZ. You can have it everywhere. You can have it even in databases. So, but this time we're not going to talk about honeypots. We're going to talk about a quite new concept, which is called honey clients. So, what is a honey client? A honey client is basically instead of just installing a system which is meant to be scanned, attacked, and compromised, you actively go out, you take a client, let the client send requests to the web and basically surf through websites, and then you analyze what those websites did to your client. Okay. So what you want to do is you want to find out whether a certain website is actually malicious or not. That's actually the purpose. So you want to find, for instance, if you probably have heard about the problem that exists currently with Windows metafiles. I think it came out yesterday or maybe the day before. If you go to fsecure.com/weblog, you can read every detail about it. Basically, it's a 0 day for Windows, and there's no patch at all. And people found out about it because they visited basically a malicious website that was just because you visited the website, your system got infected immediately with the 0 day. Okay, and for those purposes, a honey client is actually perfect because a honey client will actually take a list, and we've implemented a software which would do that for you and would visit those websites and analyze what those websites did to your host. Okay. So instead of being rather passive, you're actually actively exploring the web for certain vulnerabilities. Okay. So as I said, you take a list of URLs, and you visit them one by one, and do a comparison of what happened to your host before you actually visit the site and afterwards. Okay. Okay, so a little bit of history. Actually, we're not quite sure where the thing actually comes from. The idea was probably invented by Lance Spitzner, who's kind of the god of honeypots. A very interesting book he wrote about honeypots, which is actually called Honeypots, so you should quite read it. I think the real breakthrough was done by people from Microsoft, whose names I really can't pronounce. Those people actually did their Honey Monkey project. And they claimed that they actually found a 0 day just after a couple of weeks or a month. They deployed the thing, but it's not 100% certain because the thing has been around before, and they still claimed that the thing is actually was not found by Microsoft. And maybe one little story before we go on. We asked Microsoft to forward us a list of of URLs. They have, as I said, 800 URLs, which are actually malicious. And we asked them very nicely and several times to provide us with material. And they always said to us simply to fuck off. And that's why we put the following slide in there, just to thank them, basically. And yeah. So that's our thanks for them for not sharing the material with us, OK? Yeah, so we come to our keep it simple and stupid implementation of a honey client, which will Christian actually present.
OK, so I don't know if you, or please raise the hand who did not read that HoneyMonkey white paper from Microsoft. OK, that's the majority of the people. So in that white paper, Microsoft describes a quite sophisticated system of a honey client. What they did, they had several virtual environments linked to each other. So, for example, firstly, a virtual environment containing Windows XP without any patches and service packs, go to the website and checked if it's malicious or not. And then the same was done by service pack 1, and the same was done by the service pack 2. So in this way, they could actually determine the exploit used, is it new or not. So if they found out that the latest patch level is also gets compromised by the site, then it's at 0 day. So what they did, so they chained those environments. Actually, we did not have the time for it because we are working, and you see this thing is quite new. So what we did is actually a really stupid and simple virtual environment containing Windows XP Service Pack 2. However, our environment and our tool is not bounded to Microsoft, so you can use the same tool because it's written in Perl, also in Linux environments to find exploits in Mozilla and so ever. But of course, we wanted to go first to find out how's it working and to see. And with Windows, you have better chances, of course, than with Linux. So our script is pretty straightforward, and therefore, we did not release it because it's so straightforward that I'm a little bit shaming of myself that it's so straightforward. But can you please? So it's actually nothing else. It's a VMware. A non-persistent image of a VMware Windows XP Service Pack 2. When it starts, a Perl script gets automatically started, which is actually go for a network location, where in the file the target URL is written. So he reads that from there. He makes an image of the system from the registry and from the file system. Gets the URL, starts the browser with that URL. Waits a little bit, and then he makes another image of the system and compares it. And of course, if the image before and after is not the same, then we have found something. Also, part of the tool is the script outside, which is actually it's a Visual Basic script, which does nothing else just to look at that network location, and if the results are appear in that network location because the Perl script writes the results back to that share, then he changed the URL in the file, so the next URL will be executed. Okay, and so the typical results of this tool will look like this. This is for example the registry changes. You see that for example that the logon time, that one registry entry disappeared and the new registry entry gets in, and for the other ones they are new entries. So what you see is probably a service and the driver got installed. The same is true for the Sebastian, please. For the file system, you see, for example, here we have a help file somehow appeared on our local drive. You see the HTML file, which is actually the site itself, what you visited, and of course those text files are just temporary files for the tool who is working on it. Okay, how did we test it? Of course, because the tool is is actually not the value. The value or how you can find malicious websites is, of course, the point where are you starting from. If you just start to browse the net, you will probably find a malicious website with a very low chance. But if you are starting from a site, from a malicious site, then of course all links from that malicious site has a chance being malicious much higher than this. So what we did, actually we did two different runs. We crawled links and structures starting from a porn site because we were assuming that porn site are malicious with a high chance, and we did the same with the WordPress site. Okay, we extracted a large number of links, but of course, since this the checking of the sites are taking time, what we don't have, because we have to work, unfortunately, we analyzed only 2,000 of them, which is already 22 hours of pure runtime. And of course, the time additionally required for the analysis. So there is a question, for a little surprise, that what do you think the percentage what we found malicious? So I have heard here 20%. Anybody else? You said one? 0.1. 100%. Okay, so the surprise is actually that we have no surprise. Sorry for that, because we were asked. We did last year, and we were asked this year not to do it. I don't know. So sorry about that. We prepared the slides before that. But it's because we were on the good news is the porn sites are harmless. So this is probably because they will lose clients if they would infect them. For the WordPress related sites, it's depending really on where you start, but 1-2% were malicious. Of course, the maliciousness can be in several different nature, and we will talk about this one later. Okay, this is I already talked about one, that this is how we started. We selected the links just by entering in the Google WordPress and pick up a random site, and we started from there. And we only found Internet Explorer exploits in this time, but since we were browsing with an Internet Explorer, this doesn't mean a lot. We will try, and in the future, try with Mozilla as well. Okay, and I give back to Sebastian.
Okay. Yeah, so there are actually many things for us left to be done, and maybe people in the audience get attracted by the idea of Honey Clients, and maybe you want to join us. What we have to do is, first of all, we have to find more websites that are actually malicious, and especially those websites that will attempt to exploit your system if you're on a Windows system, but also if you're on any other operating system, let's say Linux. I think we're going to see this next year, probably because last year we said, for instance, here at the CCC, that malicious software will at some stage try to detect VMware and will try to behave differently when it's running inside VMware from just preventing you from analyzing it. And later on, we're going to have some case studies where you can actually see that the software behaves differently if you run it inside VMware. So I think this is going to be the same, and we're going to see some exploits targeting both Windows and Linux users next year, probably. Additionally, we need to build a database of websites that are actually malicious. This is actually a big problem because nobody that has done research so far tends to share their results with us. And so again, another call for the community to actually build the website that would contain malicious websites or links to malicious websites, and maybe even analysis of those websites, so people can go to the website and inform themselves about the way a certain website maybe was compromised, and then about the way it actually exploited its visitors. Okay, the next thing we need to do is we need actually more intelligent and clever ways to find malicious websites. Currently, it's just a little bit of guesswork, and it's a lot of Googling, and it's not very effective really, because what we did is we Googled for it. We used a website that contained typos, like F-secure instead of F-secure, so a K instead of a C, for instance. And it's, those things are actually very, very dumb and not very intelligent. So we have to find ways. Let's say an exploit is published on Chaotic, let's say on Monday, and how long does it take for the exploit to spread around several websites and to exploit actually people? So if we could find a way to actually determine this time difference, then this would be very helpful. Then obviously a zero day is also very valuable. If you would be able to find this, so far we did not succeed, but I mean, we just started this a couple of months ago, so maybe we will succeed someday. Then another problem we have is that because our software does is basically, okay, you compare your system before you actually go to the website and afterwards. It's very simple. It's nothing special. It's a little bit comparable to actually an IDS, a host-based IDS, although it's not very intelligent, as I said. So we need more intelligent ways to actually tell whether a website has exploited your system or not. So we need to determine, did it do any kind of memory based modifications of the system. For instance, if you think of rootkits that would on Linux, for instance, on Windows, it's pretty much the same. It could hook a system call, and we wouldn't be able to determine this because we simply don't look for those stuff. Okay, so we need to find a way to actually to analyze the memory of a running system. Obviously, there are forensic tools for this, but our tool is just an automated Perl script, basically, and it's not capable of doing this stuff so far, but I mean, this is stuff which has to be done in the future, so we see where we're up to. Okay, then the next thing is, as Christian described, Microsoft has set up like a chain or a loop of honey clients, basically. So the first system goes to one website, it is exploited. Okay, then the second system with a different software installation goes to that site as well, and they compare whether they both are exploited. So then you know, okay, let's say Windows XP with Service Pack 1 and this and this version of Internet Explorer is exploited, but maybe with this and this update it is not. So you can directly determine the software configuration a certain website is targeting. Okay. So what we need to do the same. We need to set up a kind of coordinated and changed way of having honey client installations. Then obviously what we need to do as well, although this is actually quite easy, we need to obfuscate the use of VMware, because we use VMware because it's a good piece of software in my opinion, and it's pretty convenient. And as I said, some of the malicious websites, as we predicted last year, they actually try to determine am I being visited by a user that actually runs Internet Explorer or Windows in a VMware system. Okay, so whenever this happens, maybe, okay, so if you want to go to malicious websites, maybe, or if you want to take a look at gray porn, then maybe use VMware to surf, because you're not going to be exploited because the things are detecting you using VMware and the malicious code is not run. Maybe this is a feasible way, although I don't think that 16 colors are that nice inside a VMware box, so you maybe want to have the full picture of whatever you look at. So we may need to do a lot of work there. And if you want to join us, our website is devtarget.org, as said. Okay, so we come to another implementation which is actually quite interesting. It has been done by a girl called Kathy Wang. She presented already her idea at presentations or conferences such as TorCon, for instance. And she has written a software which is actually quite similar. It's probably better, but never mind, as our software. It's honeyclient.org, and she's written a Perl script that basically, it includes a proxy, and it will be sitting in between your browser and the target web server, okay? So it will analyze all the data that is flowing between yourself and the target website, and it will store all the links and all the data and keep it there for later analysis, okay? So it's pretty straightforward as well, and it's pretty intelligent. Well, it's simple, but it's also an intelligent way of doing this thing. Okay, so go back. Sorry, I forgot something, because I want to mention this because I'm also studying at TCU, at the Dublin City University, and by the way, if people are interested in graduating in IT security, they have a very, very interesting program which I'm currently undertaking, so if you're interested, you can contact me some stage. But never mind, the people that study it actually at DCU last year, they wrote an extension to HoneyClient, which will actually, what it does, it actually analyzes spam messages, and it extracts all the URLs from those spam messages and goes on and visits every single URL that has been included in those spam messages. And so what you can do with this is basically you can find the correlation between spam and malicious websites. Okay, so you can try to figure out what percentage of websites or people that actually produce spam are also malicious. I mean, they might be malicious in their own nature, but I mean, malicious in the way that they actually target users. Okay. Okay, so we come to our case studies. We have two nice case studies, and the first one is actually a warning. Okay, this is about private investigation, so we want you to get some. Get yourself your own system, set it up in VMware, whatever you want to use. QEmu is nice as well. So basically, go to those websites mentioned here, but beware that you will be infected with spyware and all other sorts of malicious software. But I mean, this is about private investigation. This is a CCC Congress, so come get some and get infected, because I mean, that's what the fun is all about, okay? So the nice website here. Okay, this is not for you to see, okay? Okay, so a very nice website is actually cracks.am. And cracks.am is basically a website, you know, where you can get, oh, I have this Uber music tool and I want to use it now, so I need a crack now. Yeah, okay, so I go to asanavista.box.sk or whatever the thing is called, and I type in whatever tool I want to use, Half-Life 2 crack or whatever, and one site I'm going to find is cracks.am, for instance. And but beside those kind of nice pop-ups, you will also get some sort of cracks and other tools.
So for another small surprise, maybe you can find the first failure in the picture or the first interesting thing at the picture, except the two ladies.
Yeah, what's unusual about this picture, maybe?
Black box sensor.
Okay, beside this black box and anything in between here and here and maybe here. And yeah, it's not find sex partners in Frankfurt, okay? So, but it's not maybe not that obvious. But the thing is, you can only see one task running, although the thing has opened up several pop-ups. So this is different to what a normal Windows system would usually do, because you would see for every pop-up that you have, you would see a certain window running. So this is different from the normal Windows behavior. Okay.
This is actually to avoid pop-up
blocker. Yeah. So in pop-up blocker are not going to work on this website, I think. Okay. So we go on, and this stuff is actually created by a very nice website. It's called your sidebar.com, and well, they really help you to surf in a different way, because they infect you with malware. So they really want you to surf in a different way, well, malicious in a kind of. So if you take a look at their text, it's actually, well, you can read it yourself, but it's a joke basically, because what those guys do, they infect you with malware and other stuff, and they say, well, look, we can give you, as the user, the best way you can experience the web, because we have all the tools to give you powerful stuff, and well, basically they backdoor your system or install spyware, so it's not really a very nice way to do. Yeah.
Sorry, if you wouldn't understand what's happening, we had to cut a little bit of the detailed analysis. So therefore, if you find that some parts are missing, they are missing, but you will find them in the full uncutted version, what we will show you. So actually what here happened, the site uses an exploit to install an adware. And this is the provider of the adware.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I almost forgot about it. We have the full presentation on the website, because we really had to cut our parts, because it just was way too long. So as Christian correctly said, you go on the website, and without you really noticing, you will be installed with a nice, shiny xxxtoolbar.com thing, okay? And the people that produced xxxtoolbar.com or the nice shiny toolbar are actually those guys. So and inside the software they have several references to this website. And what they also have is they actually detect, is VMware running or is it not? So if VMware is running, then basically the software will, the malicious part of the software will not be executed. So this prevents people from actually analyzing the stuff inside VMware. So what we, our approach, for instance, that we take, as Christian said, we have a non-persistent VMware image. We run the thing, we analyze it afterwards. And here on this website, it was the first website that actually prevented us from using this way, because simply it is not malicious whenever you use VMware. Okay, it's very easy to circumvent their detection because you can simply deinstall the VMware tools and then the thing will work again. But I mean, there are more interesting ways, and we talked about them last year, how you can detect VMware. So I think the tools will get more intelligent, and then maybe in, analyzing the stuff in VMware is not possible anymore. We will see what happens next year. Okay, then there are actually some very nice registry calls that the thing makes, because what it does basically, you know, there are several spyware companies around, and what this thing does is actually it tries to detect what other kind of malware or spyware you have installed on your system. And so it detects, for instance, let's say you're already infected with, let's say, Search Assistant. So it knows actually that the software is there and it can handle it automatically. So it might disable the other one and just in order to be the only one, okay? Okay, I think now we come to our summary. The thing is basically cracks.im is just all about the money, basically. It is malicious in the way that it installs spyware on your system. But then again, by using the toolbar, it's all about getting money for the people that actually run the website, okay? So it's not really about backdooring your system, or in our second example, we have an example of a botnet, for instance. It's not that malicious, it's just about the money. It uses a quite old Internet Explorer bug, and it's mostly targeting users that want to have a crack for a certain piece of software. So they want to be users, whatever they want to be, and they try to download stuff and they actually get infected. So a kind of deserve what they get, I guess. So you should have like up-to-date browsers or software, and then you could prevent yourself from being attacked. Okay, so we come now to our second example.
Okay, our second example is actually molecularmultimedia.com. This is how the site looked like if on a sunny day. Nothing special, but on a not so sunny day, you might see that Windows Help is opening. JavaScript errors. Something saying like you dropped something on the taskbar and want to close themselves. So what the heck is going on here? So a variety of unusual things were happening. And when we analyzed the site with our tool, we found out that actually there is four new files were created, and of course some new registry entries. Actually, the tool outputs you seen when we introduced our tool, that was this site or part of the results for this site. Which was interesting that after looking at those four files, three of them were identical. And then, of course, you might start to think, why do you have three times the same file? And you might think that this is a shotgun approach. So the site probably has three different exploits and hopes that one of them can get to the user. Okay, so can you please open the code? We have the code of the site, and if you look at it, you will find I hope that Sebastian found it. So you will find out very easily that the code has also three parts. Can you make it? Yeah, three parts, and this is very interesting and very. I think it's quite professional. So in the first part, can you just put the whole screen? There was a no. Okay, so in the first part, you will see that some kind of ActiveX things are happening. You see here that the CovExe gets downloaded, and it's written to somewhere. This is actually an exploit for an ActiveX. For an ActiveX vulnerability. Okay, you will find out that you have almost the same exploit code twice in the page. There was the first one, and Sebastian just marking the second one. So this is the first part of the code. And then we are going down, you will find something like, Sebastian, can you please go down? Something like very strange things happening here. Okay, we will talk about this one. What the heck is it? And this is the second part. And the third part, of course, and the third part is you see that it is some kind of a Unicode encoded stuff. So these are the three major parts in the code, and you guessed probably by right now that this is the three exploit that the site containing. And this Unicode you can decrypt easily, and what you will found out that this is actually a delivery method for the encrypted code in the middle, and the encrypted code in the middle is the third exploit. Okay, so this is the three exploit, and of course this is very much in line what you have seen when you browse the site. So the first one is the ADODB stream object vulnerability. The next one is the help activist control vulnerability, and the last is the drag and drop vulnerability. Okay, so as you have seen, the three files are identical, and the fourth one, the x.cham, was a Windows help file. And the Windows help file is actually doing nothing else, just delivering the same file. So a cov.exe and cov.1.exe was delivered by the ADODB vulnerability. The x.cham was delivered by the drag and drop, and the x.cham delivered the money.exe, which was the fourth file through the ActiveX control vulnerability. So okay, so because all the three malicious code was the same, is enough for us just to analyze one of them, and you are already seeing that, for example, this proxy engine gets malicious, I think. And of course, you are seeing here that he adds himself to the Windows firewall policy that he can access the internet. You see that it starts as new service. And those things, if you look for them, they are mostly belonging to some kind of virus scanner, or Norton antivirus, or Symantec antivirus, or something like that. They are processes for those. Okay. Sebastian? Okay, and if you execute this code in a sandbox, you will see that, this is really that's happening, what we guessed by now from the register entries, from the strings what we found, and from the results, our tool. So you see that it's if you start the malicious code, it creates two files, he creates a new service and makes some settings in the registry for the service and delivers also a driver. And by this, he's opening a proxy on your server, which is most likely controlled by a botnet. So if you are visiting that site with your Windows XP Service Pack 2, then you are now part of a botnet. Okay, so the summary, this site was not like the other one, because this is more professional. This is the author remains anonymous because the malicious code was on a hacked page, so delivered by a hacked page on to users who are actually not looking for trouble than in the other case. And of course it's not for money or not for money directly. It's creation of a botnet, and of course probably the owner of the botnet will send or will sell his botnet for money. But if you look at the code, we don't do it now, but the author is so I don't know the real word, but he's also accessing some counters. So he makes some hits, some counters in Russia. So he's probably from Russia. Okay, and back to Sebastian.
Okay, so yeah, we wanted to show, we wanted to reverse engineer the file, but we already 45 minutes through the talk almost, so we said we couldn't really make it. But maybe one last part of the presentation is forensics, and it's really in a nutshell, because last year we spoke, I think, more than an hour about forensics, and I think you can probably spend weeks talking about it. But because this is private investigations, we want to urge you to start your own investigations, and maybe some of the tools can help you while doing this. Okay. So first of all, take a look at the stuff that we've done last year. I think many of the tools are actually quite helpful. Again, basically, you need the entire suite from sysinternals.com. You need the stuff from Foundstone, their forensic tools, and obviously any port. Any network sniffer is actually quite interesting or quite useful. Ethereal will do the job, of course. If you want to really get into the stuff, you have to reverse engineer the stuff, which is, in fact, quite difficult. We have given an example last year about this, and what you can do is you can use a debugger like OllieDebug or IDA Pro or well, there are many others, but I think those two are the most important ones. What you can do is you can take a look at iDefense malware analysis pack. It's actually it's a collection of software meant to be used for the purpose of analyzing malware, basically. And it's a very good piece of software written by those guys, and I think you should take a look at it. We have also two a website that we can really recommend to you. It's Norman Sandbox and virustotal.com. And I think if we go on, we're gonna see a screenshot. Yes, this is actually virustotal.com. It's a very good website, and I just stumbled across accidentally, actually, and it's excellent, because what it does basically is you submit a file, and it will scan the file, I think, in about, 20 or 25 virus scanners, okay, for you. And you get the result after a while. So it's excellent. Okay, I know this is, screenshot is not quite readable, but basically what it does, what it says is, I've uploaded the file money.exe. That was the file that was created by the exploit of molecularmultimedia.com, which was, as we said, compromised. And basically, he's going to use F-Secure, he's going to use Bitdefender, he's going to use Semantic Antivirus, he's going to use Sophos, he's going to use all those different virus scanners to scan the file we sent. And then he's going to give you the result of the file, what it has actually detected. So some of them actually could say, well, this is Trojan horse, X and Y. This could be sober.y or whatever it is. And basically, if in my opinion, we had a case actually which we are currently investigating, which in which most of the virus scanners did actually not find a virus in the file. So when you have a malicious, or you think you have a malicious file, and many of those virus scanners are not picking it up, then I think you have something interesting. And I didn't try it because I just got the exploit today, but the WMF exploit that's currently spreading around the internet, I think it would be interesting to throw it in there and just to see what all those virus scanners say about it, okay? Okay, then the next thing we have, it's called sandbox.norman.no. It's actually a very interesting project, and I just stumbled across somehow. What it does, basically, you give it a file, and it will execute the file for you, basically. Okay, and it will record all the stuff the file has done and give you a nice kind of report, okay? What you have is basically what we've seen before. The money.exe will actually install two files. It will install a new service, and it will run as a backdoor on your system. And maybe those people that know Thorsten Holz, I just spoke with him this morning, and they have actually a diploma thesis which will implement an open source sandbox for malware analysis. This is actually quite cool. So that we will have in the future, probably next year at some stage, a software which we can use to automatically analyze malware in a closed environment, okay? So we almost come to the end. I think, or we both think that honey clients are actually a very interesting type of research you can do. It will help us to understand the interrelation between malicious website, malicious code, and then gaining money from the internet. And we still have to find out how long it takes for an exploit to be released, let's say on Chaotic or Full Disclosure or whatever, and then from being used. I think this WMF exploit we were just seeing the other day is a good example for this. And I think, in my opinion, it usually takes less than a day, but we still don't have certain fixed numbers about it. Okay, then I think also honey clients could enable us to find undisclosed or new vulnerabilities. This is always a goal, an ultimate goal for us. Good guys, obviously, then it can help you to explore the current threat situation, because it will give you an overview of the things that are actually currently happening. What you can do as well, and I think that's why we're here. We ask the community to help us with this approach, because what we need is we need better software to actually analyze malicious code, and also we need websites that actually contain malicious links. So my idea is setting up a wiki or something, and just basically whenever somebody comes across a web or knows about a malicious website, just put the website in the wiki, and people can start analyzing it. So we get the list that Microsoft and other people actually have, like F-Secure, they have such a list as well, but they don't want to disclose. We have a list of some malicious websites, but they keep changing, and we need more of them. And the legal aspects, finally, I think, are quite similar to those mentioned last year. It's always a problem is, okay, let's say, okay, we had a big discussion last year, and I don't want to start it all again, but because we can do this later on in the bar if you want to. But I think the legal aspects are quite the same. If you have a honey client that goes to a website, is being exploited, and then is used, let's say, in a botnet, then the question is, are you as a user reliable for this? Obviously, we are not lawyers, and some might blame Microsoft, some might blame the users. We still don't know, but this some of the stuff you have to be aware of. And
I just want to add that there is a very thin line. I would make the comparison like if you lost a knife on the street, that's not a crime. But if you throw the knife into a prison, and somebody will be killed by this knife, it might be a crime. So that's a very thin line, and this is not. But if you remember the talk before, maybe we should take the anarchistic approach and just do it.
Okay. So I think yes, we have some time left. Not as last year, and we have some time for questions. But before that, I want to point out to some interesting links. If you want to go to the Microsoft website, they have some. I don't know why how they got it, but they have some interesting research papers, and they won't give you the websites which is kind of weird in my opinion, but they have interesting projects and interesting research there. A good project is actually the Tripo Petrol, which I came across, I think, 2 or 3 days ago, which will basically, they will try to make a list of typos. So F-Secure with a K instead of a C, for instance, or Google with three O's or something. And they will try to find websites that actually target users that have did make typos and exploit them straight away. So maybe this is an interesting project as well. And last year we have given you many, many links to websites, so maybe you can take a look at this stuff as well. And yeah, I think we've come to the end. And thank you very much for your attention. The website is on, it's ftarget.org. The presentation will be available at some stage. Again, I'm not very good in designing websites, but the stuff will be there, also the stuff from last year and some exploitation stuff. So thanks for listening, folks, and yeah, we're looking forward to answering your questions now.